You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions, and student voices.
Welcome back to The Pulse. We are now going on to our second story of the evening. Just going to check that no more music was playing there. And that is my story about the Scouts. Now, an article was released today on the BBC, which was headlined, Scouts Putting Lives at Risk After Ben Leonard's Death. Now, I haven't been involved in scouting, but I've been involved in guiding from a very young age, and I was quite shocked to see that headline, Putting Lives at Risk. It wasn't something I would associate with scouts, first of all. So after reading the article, what happened was there was a death of a 16-year-old boy on a trip to North Wales. He was called Ben Leonard. He was from Stockport in Manchester, and he died after falling during a climbing activity that they were doing. As a result, the Scouting Association have said that they have since strengthened their policies because it was found during the inquest that there was no safety kind of briefings or any precautions or all the no health and safety forms, risk assessments, things like that. I think I'm now looking on the article, but I believe that there wasn't even the coroner said that there was no list of participants on the trip, no risk assessment had been carried out, and there was no full understanding of what a risk assessment was, which obviously is absolutely terrible. And there's clearly in this scout group there was clearly some issues with who the leadership was, because I know when I've been on any trips with guiding that there have been countless forms to fill in.
Go on any trip with my mom, you've got a risk assessment.
So I just thought this raises the question of, do we think this is perhaps a fair headline to put, putting lives at risk? I think that's quite a strong way to put it. And what do we, how do we think people will perhaps see things like scouting and guiding from now on?
I do think we need to sort of start by recognising how tragic this is, and it shouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. And I think 100%. Scouting in general, I don't think is to blame, but obviously there is some fault lying there that they don't. I mean, I don't know what the policies are with scouts, because I was a rainbow leader in guides, but never did scouts. I think there must just be an issue with the system, or someone didn't fill out a form, or there's been a changeover of leadership and someone didn't know it was their job to do it, and it's gone undone. But to not even have a list of the kids on the trip, I don't know if this is scouts' fault for not regulating it more, or if it is the fault of this individual group.
As I say, I can only obviously go off guiding, but I think they pretty much run in parallel. Guiding, you have to have lists of every member, you have to have emergency contacts for every member, things like age. Even if we're going on an event that isn't a residential and wouldn't have there's no food involved, you have to have dietary requirements. Things that aren't even relevant to that activity are often put on the forms. So I think the sad thing is that perhaps the association will be tarnished because of this, when this was a standalone case. Yeah.
I agree that I'm worried that people will read this article and go away from it taking that as their perception of scouting as a whole. I similarly have been very involved with like brownies and rainbows and guides, and my sister was actually in the scouts for a while, and she through that organization was able to go to South Africa for like 3 weeks and do some incredible volunteering there in the community over there. And so whilst it's absolutely tragic that this has happened, I don't think that it should be held as like the standard that all scouting groups abide by. I think usually there are a lot that the kind of regulations are stuck to, and people are much more strict with, like you said, making sure that there's appropriate health and safety.
That's the thing that makes me particularly sad, is if people see this is the press that it gets, and actually, as you said, I've been the same as siblings, that the trips away and all the other things are incredible.
It's such a positive influence on like lives and young people, and I think as well it's a very accessible hobby, I think, because I don't know what other sort of groups were like in terms of like how much it was and stuff, but it was with the guides and brownies and rainbows that I went to were all that, it wasn't something like, dance or ballet where it's, it can get really, really expensive really, really quickly. It's a hobby that, all of your kids can do, and it sort of can stay relatively cheap, which I think is really good that kids from any backgrounds can have access to, you know, extracurricular activities and opportunities to go on these trips and go on these adventures and learn new skills, because I just think guiding's a really good way for kids of all backgrounds to sort of meet new people, learn new skills and have different opportunities. And I am worried that this will sort of tarnish the reputation of it a bit.
At the same time, though, I think that this is obviously a bit of a wake-up call for the Scouting Association, and perhaps they need to have a look at themselves and think, yeah, we need some legislation that's in place that is more expansive, is maybe the right word, that covers, you know, not just individual groups, but that is like an umbrella.
I think it's all being able to enforce those rules a bit better, because they do, it says here that the leaders who led that trip didn't adhere to the scouts' policies.
Maybe it should.
And so it's how do you keep people following?
Yeah, it could be something like government legislation, because when you look at things like Duke of Edinburgh, which are very similar outdoor expeditions that can go on, you know, gold 5 days and could be potentially very dangerous, they're not always necessarily to do with scouts. So maybe it's something that has to be brought in across the board.
I think that is the issue, because it's not government run, obviously, it is like a private association, is that for them to enforce that legislation, it could potentially be a little bit more expensive. You know, if you had a system like, for example, Ofsted, so people just randomly popped in to like check how things were going at different scouting groups, like different individual groups, where are the resources coming for that? Because perhaps there is a lack of funding, especially for an organisation like that, which is very much about giving back to the people that are paying into it.
I was going to say, it's very much volunteer-led, even up to kind of the roles of things like county commissioner and the people overseeing the leaders. I think even those roles are volunteer-led. So, although, of course, in this situation, the leader should, I believe they've been, like, they're now not allowed to run groups anymore. Of course, there should be something on them, but it's that just in general with the organisation, it does need to be remembered that they are volunteers, and so they do need that guidance from someone who's employed to give the guidance, I would say.
And I can't actually remember now, but do you have to pay for Brownies guides?
I think I remember it being like 25, 30 quid a term.
Yeah.
Because
when my Rainbows, when I was a leader, they would pay about £30 subs, but none of that money would go into paying us as leaders, of course.
It would all be to pay for the equipment,
for the hire of the hall, things like that. So it's, I mean, I used to have music lessons that were maybe £18 per lesson. So
yeah,
it's,
that's what, I mean,
compared to, as you were saying earlier,
hobbies, you know, music, dance.
And when you break that down into like each hourly session, you're actually paying what? Like
£2 an hour or
something? Yeah. It is incredible value for money. And that's where I worry that, you know, increasing or like looking at the legislation and trying to improve it, that's fine, but I just worry how can they make sure that it's being implemented when actually the association probably doesn't have enough resources to onto that.
Probably is a fair bit of legislation within Scouts anyway to try and prevent this from happening. I do think it's a, you know, a standalone incident with, you know, I mean, to be fair, the neglect of leaders to not even have a list of the kids going on the trip, like, that's not, oh, we haven't been told the proper precautions, so we didn't realise that you had to fill out this particular form for this exact thing. That's just not knowing who's, like, on the bus. That's basic counting and writing names down for a register.
I do agree. I do think that in this circumstance, that I don't think that the Scouting Association can really be held responsible if they've already got legislation in place.
I
think they've given the correct response as well, that, you know, they're taking it very seriously and that they're strengthening their policies and procedures to try and prevent it happening in the future.
But if people ignore the policies and procedures, then there's only so much that scouts can
do. I think
do.
As well, there needs to be some help to liaise between the parents and the leaders and then the kind of higher up leaders, because I know often for our units, it was used a bit as a babysitting service. Obviously Rainbows are only 5 to 7 and parents coming late and things like that, so I do think there needs to be more guidance between how the leader should liaise with the parents.
This is URN.